First Kings chapter 17 and our verse 9. Verse 9, 1 Kings 17. The word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. After possibly 12 months hiding at the brook Cherith, Elijah at last receives a communication from the Lord. We have it there in the verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Now we would do well to note how prominently the word of the Lord figured in the life of Elijah. See how often the word of the Lord is mentioned in relation to this man's life. We have it, of course, in verse 2. And again in verse 5. Once more, verse 8. Once again, verse 16. And then in this chapter, verse 24. If you had a notebook and a pencil, you could take note also that it's found in 1 Kings 18, verse 1, verse 31, verse 36. 1 Kings 19 and verse 9. 1 Kings 21 verses 17 and 28. 2 Kings chapter 1 and verse 17. All these references to the word of the Lord in the life of the prophet Elijah. Now study of these references will reveal to us just how much Elijah relied upon the Lord's word. He relied on the word to tell him what to do and where to go. He relied on the Lord telling him what to do after he approached and confronted Ahab. For we read in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence. And so Elijah relied on the word to tell him what to do, where he was to go after he had confronted Ahab. He relied on the word to tell him that he was to go to the brook Cherith. Remember, he had been there alone when the brook dried up. There was no one there to give him advice as to what to do. There was no one to counsel him. There was no one to tell him from the brook Cherith where he was to go. So he had to wait there until he received once more a word from the Lord. See how he relied on God's word? Elijah relied on the word of the Lord to guide his footsteps. And I notice Elijah responded to the Lord's word. He received the word of the Lord many times, as we have already pointed out. But it's one thing receiving the word and then responding to it. Elijah always responded to the word. Look again at verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. We look again at verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath. Verse 10, so he arose and went. Elijah obeyed the word of the Lord. Elijah always responded to God's word. He allowed the word of the Lord to direct his footsteps. Whatever the Lord told him to do through his word, Elijah then sought to carry out God's will. So Elijah relied on the Lord's word. Elijah always responded to the Lord's word. And I see that Elijah rested in the Lord's word. It is a blessed thing to be able to rest in the Word of God. No matter where the Lord directs us, no matter what the Lord tells us to do, how we should live our lives, it is good to be able just to rest in that Word. We may not be able to see the way ahead. The Lord may direct us and show us a certain way to go. We cannot see the end, as it were. So what do? We simply rest in the Word of God. That's what Elijah did. Imagine being sent to the brook Cherith, out into the wilderness. Elijah could have said, "What's there? And I'm to hide myself there, and I'm not of any communication, no company, no fellowship. What will I do there?" Elijah didn't know. And he simply rested in the Word of the Lord. He'd just been told to go to Zarephath, and he would meet a widow woman there. How would a widow woman care for Elijah? Elijah didn't know. So what was he to do? Rest in the Word. I noticed that Elijah never argued, never rebelled against the Lord, but simply rested in His Word, knowing that the Word of the Lord would never lead him astray. And we can see how Elijah rested in the Word when the Lord told him, came to him that second time and sent him to Zarephath. Now looking at these words, we see first of all Elijah and his mission. Elijah did not leave the brook Cherith until the word of the Lord came to him. He did not leave the brook Cherith until the Lord told him. And the Lord had told him to stay at the brook. Now the Lord was telling him to leave the brook. He was guided by the Lord's word. This reminds me very much of what we read in Exodus 40. For there in Exodus 40 we read about how the Lord guided the children of Israel. We've been looking at the life of Moses in our school assembly on Wednesday mornings, pointing out to the children that there was at least 2 million Israelites that made their way through the wilderness. And how were 2 million Israelites to be guided? How would they know where to go? They're in a wilderness. We read in Exodus 40 and verse 36. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. In other words, the cloudy pillar and the pillar of fire led the children of Israel. They didn't go except the cloud went. And they stayed if the cloudy pillar stayed. How were they to know their way through the wilderness? They relied on the Lord. How was Elijah to know what to do? He had to rely on the word of the Lord to guide him. It is interesting to note that the Lord did not reveal to Elijah what he was to do when he got to Zarephath. He simply told him, "I have commanded a widow woman to care for you there, to sustain you there." "But what am I going there for?" Elijah could have said. "The widow woman may be there to sustain me, but what do I do next? Why am I going to Zarephath?" Lord doesn't always reveal all of His plan to us. But will take us a step at a time, as he did with Abram. The Lord told Abram to go out of Ur of the Chaldees. But where was he to go? He wasn't told. He went out not knowing where he went. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. And so it was with Jeremiah. Over in Jeremiah, in chapter 18, we read these words. Again, we see the leading of the Lord in Jeremiah's life. Jeremiah 18 and verse 1. And the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying. So Jeremiah has been guided by the word. Look there at verse 2. Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. See what the Lord was doing? He was leading Jeremiah step by step. He was to go to the potter's house, and when he would get there, he would receive another word from the Lord. So the Lord came to Elijah, told him to go to Zarephath, and to a widow woman who he commanded to care for Elijah there. And that was all. Didn't tell him anything more. Sometimes that's how the Lord will work with us. He'll lead us a step at a time. We may not know all what the Lord has planned for us. But what we must do is to trust him and trust his word and rest in his word. If the Lord has led me here, Elijah could say, well, I must rest in that word. I don't know the end from the beginning, but the Lord does. So what did the Lord tell Elijah? The word of the Lord came unto him saying, verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain me. That's all the Lord told him. He told him three things. Notice that in verse 9. Told him three things. He first of all told him about a place. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon. Now there are a number of things that may be noted about Zarephath, this place. For Elijah, Zarephath would be a distant place. The town of Zarephath was situated on the sea coast between Tyre and Sidon and the Mediterranean Sea. It was about 100 miles from the location where Elijah had been hiding for 12 months. It was about 100 miles north of the brook Cherith. Now the prophet had no other means of transport than, as we would say at home, Shanks's mare. And Shanks's mare just meant he had to walk it. And many of us would like to walk 100 miles. Elijah was told to go to Zarephath. The prophet had to walk there, and I'm sure it was not a very appealing prospect for Elijah, yet we find that he went. And once again, sometimes the Lord gives us work to do that maybe we would rather not do. If we had a choice, we'd want to do something else. Wonder what Elijah thought about walking 100 miles through desert, through a land that had suffered a drought for over a year. Wasn't a very appealing prospect, was it? But the one who is following the Lord fully will go the distance, will go any distance to carry out God's will and to obey the word of the Lord. No matter how unpleasant it may be to the flesh. So often we allow the flesh to govern us, when we should allow the word to govern us. Consider also, after the brook dried up, the Lord could have sent Elijah to Jordan. Jordan was much nearer. And Jordan wouldn't have dried up. There would have been still water in the river Jordan. And maybe Elijah, and remember, he's a man subject to like passions as we are. Maybe Elijah thought to himself, why does the Lord not send me to Jordan? There's water there. Why am I been asked to walk 100 miles where a widow woman, the Lord says, will care for me? But then there are those times, and I think we all must confess this, there are those times when it's hard to understand the will of God. That, of course, is not the fault of the Lord, it's our fault. Because of our limitations, we can't see the way ahead. And if the Lord only leads us a step at a time, we can't see any further than that step. And sometimes he will lead us in a direction that we find is hard to understand. Would this not have been hard for Elijah to understand? Why the Lord didn't send him to Jordan, instead of sending him 100 miles through desert? We read over in Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 55, there in verse 8, these familiar words. And when the Lord tells us to do something that we don't fully understand, remember these words. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Be led forth with peace. Elijah, being the man that he was, who always responded to the Lord's word, who always rested in the Lord's word, he wasn't sent to Jordan, he was sent to Zarephath, something that maybe he found hard to understand, but he went out with joy and peace because he was resting in the Lord's word, and the Lord always knows best. He was sent to a distant place. The Lord has sent his servants, many of them, to a distant place. But regarding this place, it was also a dangerous place. Elijah's obedience to the word of the Lord meant that he should cross the entire stretch of the land of Israel, lying between Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea. He was to go to Zarephath. He was to go, listen to it, to the territory of Ethbaal, the father of Jezebel. He was to enter the very territory of the enemy. That's where the Lord was sending him. Sending him there to a dangerous place. And this did not seem a very inviting prospect for Elijah. Why would the Lord send me, as it were, into the backyard of Ahab, of Jezebel, of the father of Jezebel, the arch enemies of Israel and the God of Israel? Sometimes the Lord will send his servants to serve him in certain places that may be recognized as very dangerous. Read about David Brainard. Brainard was a McShane-like missionary. The Lord sent David Brainard to evangelize the North American Indians. People had never been reached before with the gospel. Think of John Patton. The Lord sent John Patton to New Hebrides to evangelize the cannibals, to evangelize savages. Dangerous place. The Lord sent Jim Elliot to Ecuador. Jim Elliot to Ecuador to work among the Colorado Indians of the Western Andes. That was a dangerous place for Jim Elliot. For Jim Elliot wasn't there very long until he and four of his friends were martyred for the cause of Christ. These are things that we don't understand. But at the same time, these are men who rested in God's word. If the Lord wants me to go to New Hebrides, John Patton could say, I'm going. If the Lord wanted Jim Elliot to go to Ecuador, then Jim Elliot said, I'm going. The Lord said to David Brainard, go and evangelize the North American Indians. David Brainard said, I'm going. Where he lead me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. To distant places, to dangerous places. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus as he sent forth his disciples. He said, go your ways. The Lord said, go. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Elijah had received the word, go. And he had to go. The Lord not only told him about the place, he also told him about the person. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Told him about the person. The Lord said, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. He's not been sent to Zarephath to meet up with some king or some rich person or some merchant. He was being sent to meet up not with a rich man but with a poor widow. What do we note about this poor widow? First of all, we note that she was a chosen widow. The Lord Jesus mentioned this woman when he commenced his ministry in Nazareth. Remember how he entered into the synagogue? And the minister handed him the book, and he opened the book of Isaiah 61, and he read from the book, and he closed the book, and then he began to minister to the people. And as he ministered to the people, he said this, Many widows were in Israel. Many widows were in Israel. But unto none of them was Elias sent. Instead, the Lord had chosen this widow, not a Jewess, but a Gentile. He had chosen a Gentile widow to look after Elijah. There were many widows in Israel, but he didn't choose them or any one of them. He chose this Gentile woman. She was chosen of the Lord to render a service unto God's servant. She was chosen by the Lord. Of all the people in Israel, the Lord bypassed them all and chose a Gentile. And that's why the people of Nazareth rose up against Christ, that he would dare say that. That he would dare say that the Lord passed the widows in Israel by and chose a Gentile. That's why they were ready to slay him there and then. Why? Because he told the truth. He was simply telling the people the truth. That's what happened. There it is in 1 Kings 17 and verse 9. But the Lord chose this woman, poor woman, a widow woman. So the Lord will choose the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. And that's a wonderful verse. That is a wonderful verse when you apply it to many. It's a wonderful verse when you apply it to this widow woman. Think of it. Think again of what Paul said. He chooses the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And Ahab was a mighty king. He was a powerful king. And he was going to be confounded. And this widow woman played her part in the downfall of Ahab. Played her part in turning Israel back to the worship of Jehovah. She was one of the links in the chain of God's providence. You see how the Lord can take such a humble individual and use them to fulfill his plan according to his sovereign will. The Lord can take any one of us and have us play our part in his overall plan. He can make us one of the links in the chain. Praise the Lord. Takes the weak things, the things which are not. Notice also, she was not only a chosen woman, she was a commanded woman. The Lord informed Elijah, I have commanded the widow woman there to sustain thee. In other words, the sovereign God was in control of this woman's life and made her willing to sustain the prophet Elijah. The same phrase we noted last week is found in verse 4. Exactly the same phrase. Verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Verse 9, behold, I have commanded a woman to sustain thee there. This shows us that our God is in control of all things. Why should we worry about what's going to happen? God is in control. And as he made the woman willing to serve and sacrifice. So he made Elijah willing to go to the house of this poor widow. And dear child of God, we should pray that the Lord will always make us willing. Willing to do his will, to obey his commands, to obey his word. To say, Lord, guide me with thine unseen hand. I believe thou art sovereign. Lord, guide me. As Paul told the Ephesian believers, he said, as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. That's it. We're the servants of Christ. We're to do the will of God from the heart. We don't just do something just to get by. We do it from the heart. We do it from the heart. And believer, whatever we do from the heart for the Lord will honor it. The Lord will bless it. For we're the servants of Christ. She was a chosen widow. She was a commanded widow. Lord was in control of her life and made her willing. As he made the ravens willing. Overruling those ravens. Their natural instincts. He overruled. He controlled them. He controlled this woman. Lord was in control of her life. Is the Lord in control of our life? I noticed then that she was a commended woman. We've already mentioned that the Lord referred to this woman in his first sermon in Nazareth. If you turn please to Luke chapter 4. Here's the Lord. He's preaching in the synagogue in Nazareth. And Luke chapter 4 and verse 25. The Lord said, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. The Lord mentions this woman. The Lord mentions her. He mentions her in a sermon. The Lord honored her. The Lord commended her. This is the woman who looked after my servant Elijah. This is the woman who sacrificed all that she had and gave it to my servant Elijah. The Lord commended her. My, what an honor. See, believer, no matter how small or insignificant our service for the Lord may appear to be, the Lord always takes note of it. And in every church, and in every work for the Lord, there are always those who are doing the little things behind the scenes that nobody sees, but the Lord sees. The Lord takes note of those things. Just as he took note of this woman and what she did. The third thing that the Lord mentioned and said to Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, there's the place, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman. There's the person. A widow woman there to sustain thee. There's the provision. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. That did not seem once again to be a very appealing prospect for Elijah. None of it looked very bright, did it? Sent 100 miles away? Into the very backyard of Ahab? Being sent to a widow woman? And yet we see, so he arose and went. What a great man Elijah was. Behold, I have commanded the widow woman there to sustain thee. Elijah would have known, since this woman had lost her husband, her partner in life, the breadwinner of the family, that would mean that this woman couldn't have had very much. And already she, along with the rest throughout the land, would have experienced over 12 months of drought. What could she possibly have? Yet if the Lord sustained him at the brook, if the Lord had sustained him at the brook Cherith, sending the ravens to feed him, then Elijah, I have no doubt, believed, but the Lord can sustain me in the home of this widow woman. So Elijah went on his way without one word of complaint, not despising the day of small things. You see, he had learned from the past. He had spent 12 months at the brook Cherith. And the more I study these passages of Scripture in the life of Elijah, I believe it was 12 months. As I know, some think it's about 3 months or four, but I earnestly believe it was about 12 months. Because we're well into the famine by the time Elijah goes to the widow woman. He had learned to trust the Lord at the brook Cherith. He had learned to trust the Lord every day to supply his need. And now he could go to visit this widow woman in Zarephath with confidence, knowing if the Lord supplied my need at Cherith, he can supply my need at Zarephath. And believer, that's what we must do. That's what we must do when it seems and appears to us that the brook is drying up. Our brook's drying up. We must look back to those times in the past when the Lord has met our needs and the Lord has sustained us. And we must then say, well, if the Lord has sustained me in the past, and the Lord has taken care of me in the past, he'll do it again. Because the God of Elijah, hallelujah, still lives. He's still the same God. How good is the God we adore. Our faithful, unchangeable friend. His love is as great as his power. Knows neither measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus the first and the last, whose Spirit shall guide us safe home. Listen. We'll praise him for all that is past and trust him for all that is to come. That's what Elijah was doing. He couldn't see beyond that visit with the widow woman. He had just been told three things: to the place, and the person, and the provision. That was it. Here we have Elijah trusting and obeying. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. What a wonderful portion of scripture this is. So we looked at Elijah and his mission. Lord willing, next Sabbath evening we'll look at Elijah and his ministry. See how he ministered to the widow woman. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh dear Lord, we bless thee for thy holy word. How we love to study thy truth. Lord, we glean from these the circumstances that men of God found themselves in. O Lord, make us more like Elijah, a man who in many ways had simple childlike faith, didn't argue, didn't rebel, didn't debate what the Lord said to him, simply obeyed. Lord, give us that spirit, we pray. O loving Father, make us like those whom John saw when he was in the Isle of Patmos and received those visions of glory. Wanted to know who were these. And he was told, these are they which followed the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. May we be, Lord, numbered amongst them, followers of the Lamb, and we'll go with him all the way. Give us the grace to do that. Lord, write thy holy word in our hearts tonight. May we meditate upon it this evening. May we think about it. May we pray over it. And ask thee again, Lord, apply the word to our hearts. Grant us traveling mercy as we make our way home. Be with us, Lord, throughout this week. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.